Hey, 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 guys. Here is another episode of the Creator's Marketing Method. I'm so excited to be talking to Laura Lynn Easton about her amazing Wrapped Up in Jewelry brand and how she has reached over 10,000 followers on Instagram and, more importantly, driven those followers into paying clients who come and pay again and again for her amazing jewelry. She really is a force. We've been friends for a little while, met through Instagram. I've been following her brand, given her a little coaching along the way, and she just has been building something really special. She has not only her regular one-off jewelry that she sells, which is just out of this world and really unique and really special and really takes into account the amazing healing property of crystals. So there's a lot in every single piece. But she also has a membership where she sells recurring, I believe it's like seasonal boxes for members, and they get little special crystals, jewelry, meditations, the whole thing. And she just is such a beautiful force in the world and so amazing. And I'm so excited to be sharing that with you today. I know I've taken a couple weeks off, and so it's good to see you guys again, or I guess I'm not seeing you, but you know what I mean. Good to be connecting with you. As always, as you listen to this episode, share it. I am just always into meeting more like-minded creators who are building amazing e-commerce businesses. And I would love to connect with any even more of you amazing lovelies. And if you like what you hear, definitely rate and review. Definitely subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. But this morning, I was chatting with a new client who is amazing, and she is out of Montana, and she's a carpenter and a makeup artist, and she just is all about that self-sustainable lifestyle. So she teaches you all kinds of crafts and all kinds of ways to just have a holistic, self-sustaining life, and just a really multi-talented, amazing entrepreneur who I've been working with. And one thing we talked about before she decided to sign up with me is, what is the difference between engaging with my and other people's free content online and having a coaching relationship? And she was really digging it, because I guess she hadn't really thought about working with a coach in this way. And I just wanted to share kind of what we chatted about with you. You know, what I talked to her about is, you know, there's all this free content out there for sure, and it's amazing and wonderful. I put out free content through this podcast and other ways as well. And you can definitely engage in all that content, learn a ton, or experiment yourself, trial and error, figure out, you know, how to run these businesses. But the thing is that I see with clients that do that exclusively without that coaching relationship is you spend a lot more time and a lot more money getting to the same place. So maybe without a coach, you could experiment your way into getting to the same place eventually that you could with a coach. But when you work with a coach, you work with somebody who knows the exact steps to get where you want to go, because not only have they done it for themselves, but they've also done it for countless clients before you. So they've seen it all. And I know I have. I've seen all kinds of businesses, all kinds of problems crop up in businesses, all kinds of roadblocks, challenges. And I know how to chat with you about how to turn those things around. And you also get that feedback. So you get real-time feedback. So let's say my new client posts a new video on her vlog and it's not getting the kind of engagement she wants. And she's really confused as to why. She can literally email me right away. Let's say she posted on a Monday. She looks at the analytics on a Tuesday. It's not performing like she wants. She can email it to me. We can dive deep right on Tuesday about why that's not performing like she wants it to. And we can fix that in real time. So as opposed to wasting more time, wasting more money, maybe throwing ads at a problem, that kind of thing, we can figure out how to turn things around right away for her. And that's what I do with my clients. And that's what really lights me up, guys. It's figuring out how to make sure that you guys are marketing your e-commerce, your product-based businesses in a way that's sustainable. So you're actually spending your time on activities that are giving you a good return on your investment. So you're not wasting your time on a whole bunch of things that may or may not work. Or, you know, one thing I see with a lot of my clients is they go out of order. So for example, they might be buying a lot of ads, but they haven't yet gotten an organic following on Instagram that really supports having those ads. So I know when exactly to pull the trigger to start to spend and how much to spend that makes sense for your business. So you're sustaining yourself on those Instagram ads, on those Facebook ads, on those Google search ads, all those good stuff. And because I've experimented and I've made the mistakes early on in my own business. So as opposed to making the same mistakes I made, why don't you, or, you know, work with a coach? I wish I had worked with a coach sooner, and I now work with a coach now. That's how I continue to make my skills you know, better and better all the time. Because if we're not moving forward, we're actually standing still, but really everybody else might be moving forward, our competitors. So we're in a way moving backwards, and nobody wants to be moving backwards in these businesses we absolutely love. So yeah, with that said, if you want to talk about what it looks like to have a coaching relationship, there's different ways we can do it. I have a group coaching program that lasts only 7 days. I have a group coaching program that's the whole enchilada, my signature program that lasts 4 months. I have different ways of delivering that coaching. I also do one-on-one where I, for per call, you know, work with you to tune up your business and to troubleshoot. So if you have a problem and you want to just, you know, dive deep into that one problem, let's talk about that one problem. So the way that I usually work with that is you can DM me or email me, and my information is in the show notes, and we'll set up an intro call that's totally free, an opportunity for me to get to know you. You can get to know me. You can, you know, hear about my creds, all of that good stuff. And we can figure out what group coaching program, sorry, what coaching program, whether it's group or one-on-one, makes the most sense for you and will be the best investment for you. And then from there, we design a program that's going to get you the revenue that you want, that's going to get you the business that you want. And yeah, the rest is amazing. And we work together, and I give you constant feedback, and I give you my tried and true systems that have worked for my clients, that have worked for me to grow audiences and all of that. So go to the show notes, go to the best way to reach me is either to go to my website, and there's a, at the very top, a greenish colored bar, a turquoise, whatever, that you can hit to schedule a call with me, where we can do that free call, or you can just DM me on Instagram, and that's at Gina Ireland, again, in the show notes. DM me, mention that, you know, you're a podcast fan, because I love you guys, and I can give you something a little extra, a little something special. So yeah, but without further delay, I want to dive into my amazing conversation with Laura Land. So stick around. She really talks a lot about how she built her business. And I know for a lot of you guys, this will be really helpful as you're looking to build your own businesses. And you can learn from her and learn what's worked for somebody who's being very successful at her jewelry business every single day. So, all right. Thanks again for listening. I absolutely love putting these podcast episodes out for you. And I absolutely love, you know, being able to connect with you in this way. So take care, and can't wait to see you on the other side. Hey, lady, welcome to the Creators Marketing Method podcast. How are you doing today?
I am good. How are you?
I'm so great. It's so good to be able to sit down with you. I've been following your story and your brand and your amazing business as it's been growing. And I know we became Insta friends a little while ago. And so it's nice to follow the journey.
Yeah, I appreciate you having reached out to me in the first place. It's been really awesome.
Yeah, of course. Well, for my listeners who don't know you yet, tell me a little bit about your story and your background and why you decided to start your jewelry business, and also, of course, a little bit about that jewelry business.
Oh boy, okay. So how I got into the business was primarily way back, like, I just got some random jewelry making supplies for Christmas when I was a kid. And it was mostly just like beading stuff, like super simple beads, like clear fishing line type stringing things, kind of like that style of jewelry making. And then we got internet, and then I saw stuff like wire wrapping online. I was like, that's something I really want to learn how to do. It took me a while for me to like actually get into it, bother to get the supplies and really play around with it very much. And then it wasn't even until college that I further really tried to do more with it and really try to explore it. And about 3 years ago, actually, was when I decided to really do something more with it, because I could tell there was like a bit of interest around it. And I really enjoyed doing it. And being in college, it was a good, like, fun little side thing, and just really enjoyable as like a creative wind down sort of thing amidst being a very stressful college student, or stressed out college student. I don't consider myself a stressful kind of person to others.
You're definitely not, but I know exactly what you mean.
Thanks. I'm a writer. I went to school for writing, so you'd think I could talk better the first try.
Oh no, you know, this is all about the conversation, and you're just doing great. Thank you for sharing your story. So keep going.
No problem. But yeah, 3 years ago, I decided to like actually try to be a business person, I guess. And I've been winging it since then, and able to celebrate some really awesome milestones and just really enjoying what I get to bring to people now, which is what I like to think some of my best quality wire-wrapped crystal jewelry.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And tell our listeners about the milestone that you and I were just chatting about this week.
Oh, yeah. So finally getting to hit 10,000 followers, which was like
Woo-hoo!
A really huge thing to me. I didn't actually expect it to come anytime soon. And like, considering I'm coming up on about 3 years since I even started my Instagram, it's really amazing that that happened before the next year milestone.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And also, for our my listeners who don't know what wire wrap jewelry is, I would love for you to kind of describe what your art looks like, because it's very special. And honestly, it's pretty unique compared to even my other jewelry designer clients and contacts. So I would love to hear in your words what your art and means to you, and what you think it, well, just I guess what it looks like.
Okay, cool. So now I get to be my writer self and try to be very descriptive.
I know sometimes it's hard on podcasts to talk about art in that way, because it's, you know, such a auditory medium, but we'll definitely link out in the show notes to your shop and your
thing.
Yeah. So people will be able to check it out, but I'd love to just hear, yeah, what you, how you describe it to maybe to third parties.
Sure. This will be the first time I've ever actually had to do
you didn't know that this was going to be a like a pop quiz over here on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So essentially, I use a wide variety of crystals and gemstones or stones, whatever you want to call it, oftentimes beads as well, to create different forms of jewelry, from rings and bracelets to pendants and even crowns sometimes on special occasions. And the wire wrapping that I do involves most often intricate weaving. I'm a big fan of swirly things, or things that kind of feel a little bit inspired by nature. So a lot of the designs that I work with are very swirl heavy, but also really focusing on showing off the stone as best as possible. So most of my pieces, you would find the face of the stone is left pretty open to really allow that to shine through, because I feel like that's the most important part. And the wire wrapping that I do really just accentuates it and makes it something wearable.
Yeah, no, and they are absolutely amazing. And I also love that, at least in the way that you talk about your jewelry on social and all that, you really talk about some of the properties of the crystals that you use. Yeah, so talk a little bit about how you kind of discovered crystals, and yeah, what that means for you and maybe your own practices, and also how you like to share that.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know how I really got into it. I think it was like a slow, unintentional kind of thing. I feel like
it's always the best way, right?
I didn't really know what I was doing either. Like, I didn't really know what all I was getting into because of like how young I was at the time. And
sure,
I had started off with like shopping for beads and stuff at Michael's, because that's where I'd started with my supplies way back when. And sometimes the beads that you buy there, they'll actually like say it might be like a particular actual true type of stone rather than just being glass or plastic or something. And that was kind of where I think I started getting really interested in different types of stones. And I think like Labradorite was probably the first one I saw, and I was like, holy cow, like this is really cool. I really want to get some of this myself. Like, I love this because it's just so unique and has different colors. And sometimes the color doesn't show at all angles. So you almost got to kind of search for it in the stone. And I think just slowly over time, I eventually also ended up getting involved with the local Temple of Witchcraft because of a friend of mine who is a daughter of the organization's high priestess.
That's
and
amazing.
She saw me at a Barnes & Noble Makers event that I'd been invited to. Just kind of like sit there with a table and like make stuff and tell people about what I do.
Oh, that's so cool. Like, what a great event.
Love that. It was like 2 years ago though, when I was still very much like a baby business owner and did not have a very good display going on. I was just kind of a hot mess of a business.
Well, we all have to start somewhere and you've definitely come a long way. So yeah.
Oh no, I love comparing like back to where I started from. Like one of my favorite pictures I have saved is compares the first ever table setup I'd ever had at an event with also comparing it to one of my more recent ones from this past year that actually now incorporates having a second table, which was a huge step up for me this past year.
Yeah, no, that's, I love that. And I love sharing that with audiences and all that because people want to be part of that story and you are growing so quickly and amazingly, but obviously you had to start somewhere and you had to learn as you went. And I just love your experimentation and all of that. I want to talk a little bit about for my listeners, you did something really special last year in 2019 with your membership box. And I noticed you were just chatting about it on social, I think this week. So tell the listeners what kind of drove that decision and what you offer to your clients and how it helps you have more smooth revenue months and get that recurring revenue.
Yeah. So I guess 2019 was the spark of actually really deciding that, hey, I'm going to do this kind of monthly box type thing. And I'll be completely honest, it doesn't actually ship in a box like the way you think of a 3D box. It still comes in a bubble mailer because of the way, like the kinds of things that I'm mailing, it just works better to ship it in that sort of a thing. But for the idea,
I think we all forgive you.
Yeah. I mean, like the notion of the idea of like a monthly box is a lot easier to
talk just, about for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, a monthly package. No one's going to be, no one's going to be like, why don't I have a cardboard box? I just need another cardboard box. Yeah. I think you're good.
And I'd always have been a fan of the idea of monthly boxes. Like for a while, I actually got the Scribbler one for writers. And that was a lot of fun. And I really liked all the different kind of things that it really offered the people who would partake in the subscription. And I thought like, well, that would be a really cool way to potentially start having a more consistent set of revenue if I can, you know, actually get it to work in my favor. And I wanted to also pursue it because I wanted to be able to give something more to the people who had been supporting my business for as long as I had. Like, I have somebody who has somehow been buying jewelry for me since I was in high school several years ago.
Oh my gosh, how amazing is that? I mean, you must be doing something good, which I already knew, but that really is a testament to how amazing your products are and the range of products you're producing. Yeah, for sure.
It really amazes me too, because like we met on Wattpad. She was reading something that I had written there. We connected as friends and somehow transitioned to Facebook because of Etsy or something, because we got chatting, and that was back when I was still using Etsy. And she bought, like, I think, or maybe she was just interested. I don't even remember if she bought some of those things back then, but we've been chatting and like loose friends on like opposite coasts since way back then. Mm-hmm. And I think she probably holds the record for most pieces ever bought for me at this time.
That's amazing.
It's really amazing. But yeah, I really just want to be able to offer something further to the people who actually bother to follow along with what I'm doing, because it really means a lot to me to have that kind of support. And a lot of what I've been doing in the last year, actually with a class that I started with the local Temple of Witchcraft, was it deals a lot around meditation and also working with crystals too. And I was like, well, this is actually probably one of the easier ways that I could loop in something supplemental or beneficial to provide to the people who've been, you know, chilling out with me for so long. And I found the meditation aspect of things just so very helpful and really centering and makes things a lot easier in terms of being able to reflect on what's going on and feel a lot more focused in my direction. So I hope that
totally
giving a little bit of information around these things might be helpful for others and spark a little bit of interest for those who do really like crystals, but you know, while they've been collecting, might not know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. No, that's amazing. And it's such a great way to incorporate more of who you are in your story, because you know that you're doing these classes and that you're making meditation such an important part of your creative flow and your day. Which kind of gets me to another question I'd love to ask. Do you have any kind of creative flow practices, like ways that you, I know you're super busy and you have your hands in multiple things going on. So how do you make sure that you're protecting your energy and you're able to show up for the creative flow every day?
Oh man, that is a really good question. I think half the time I'm not even sure how I do it. Because like you said, there are a lot of things that I'm balancing, particularly between working full time and also trying to make time for still writing, because that's what I went to school for, and then also making time for my business and being really present for both of those two things outside of full time work. I think what helps me is keeping it kind of almost like front of mind mm-hmm. all of the time. It helps me not fall behind or forget about my writing goals or what I want to be doing with my business. And I use planners a lot too. That actually just helps like make sure that I can set aside my time appropriately and keep track of projects. And something in particular that was helpful for me was I recently made myself a new workspace setup, and I actually keep all the stones out that are for current custom orders that have been asked for. And I got these really gorgeous large geode bookends as a wedding gift back over the summer from a couple of friends of mine. And between them, I have a sketchbook, particular kind of planner, and I think something that's kind of like for note-taking and a different kind of notebook that I specifically dedicated just to my business. And having all of that right on my desk and other little things that kind of feel inspirational, I think, really helps keep me inspired, if not a little bit focused in here, because it's all just like right there and it's easy to just kind of get lost in something or like look at a crystal and be like, oh, I really want to actually play with that right now. And it kind of just keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. I love that. No, it's so important to have those ways of structuring our space. And I know, I think we just talked about you completely reorganized your work and creativity space. Is that right?
Yeah, and that was just incorporating another table in here. So like I have a very nice, like traditional sort of 4-foot desk that was initially something that my husband was kind enough to get for me when I was in undergrad. But I've been fighting to make it work for both my business and my writing, and it's not something that could work out. So I kind of stole from my event display of little 4-foot folding table and put that up to make like a nice L shape with my black desk. And so now it's my dedicated business space. And it's actually been very helpful to have that sort of thing because I can keep things out rather than feeling like I'm packing up from one to be able to do the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I love that you are, I mean, our space can be so important for productivity and for just feeling inspired and all that. So I love that you really consciously redesigned so that you were able to, yeah, feel like no matter which mode you're kind of in, that you're able to do it.
For sure. Yeah. And I will say one other thing that is helpful. I know I said I use planners a lot. It has to be like structured, I think, around the time that's being spent on certain activities, but also I think what's very helpful in terms of flow is being open to not being in a strict kind of schedule, but being open to what's going to work for what needs to get done versus staying in a certain kind of rigidity about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like that. That it's like, it's both kind of, right? It's planning and, you know, having those things that support us, like planners and to-do lists and all of that, but also feeling into the flow and being able to kind of go with the flow if different, you know, different productive ways of being are calling to you.
Yes, exactly. And I've been like, right now, I think I could have been doing better in terms of preparing things for like Valentine's Day coming up, because that could be really helpful as a, you know, jewelry owner, jewelry business owner. But instead, I've been prioritizing time around re-photographing pictures for listings that are in my shop so that everything kind of has more of a uniform look, because I finally got something that works for me for indoor photography. And I'm almost done with it. I swear, I got so much done of it last night. It's so very satisfying to have made the progress, but I'm also like, could have been doing other things, but also like this feels like something else I needed to do.
Hello, creators. I'm popping in here to let you know of a special offer I think you'd be interested in if you own a soulful product-based online business. I've created a free ebook for you to learn exactly how to create consistent recurring revenue each month through your e-commerce business. So you can stop working on that side hustle and take this full-time or take your current full-time business to the next level. I work with jewelry designers, artists, and Etsy creators to help them reach and surpass their monthly revenue goals. In this guide, you will learn the exact steps that have helped my clients generate six figures and more from their online shops. Get your free 7 easy and simple steps to add soul to your marketing guidebook today and learn the exact steps I use with my high ticket clients to create a business that they love doing what they love. Check out the link in the show notes to download my free step-by-step guide to create your authentic marketing message to explode your income. Lots of soulful goodness, guys. Now back to the show. You mentioned earlier, you know, when I used to be on Etsy and now you have your own shop on your website. Do you mind talking a little bit about why you made that decision to go off of Etsy and have your own shop, which a lot of my clients are doing, and how that felt to you? And at what point in your business evolution did you feel comfortable doing that?
So I actually made the shift, I think 2.5 years ago, maybe something like that. It was whatever year that Etsy decided over that summer to increase their seller fees from 3.5% to 5%, meaning that of your, say, $30 sale, they're now taking 5% of that $30 as theirs. And this caused a great deal of conversation and a bit of an uproar over the internet, especially with a lot of my maker friends that I only know virtually on Instagram. And everybody was like, this is ridiculous. What are you going to do? Are you planning to move? Like asking each other these sorts of things. And one person was really awesome and it compiled a whole bunch of like, here are your other options actually if you want to move away from Etsy.
Love that.
And I already didn't feel like I was being very successful with Etsy because I had attempted to kind of make it my own and that it doesn't look like your traditional shop. Instead, you have like their kind of, I think it's there was their pattern platform where you kind of like make a pseudo website. And I did actually buy a domain for that, which was like, I think my first step in the right direction of things to have my own domain that I still have now. But Etsy just wasn't doing anything for me. And they had tried to claim that the increase in seller fees was to be about being able to do more for the shop owners. But considering any of my sales that had happened were because of my own marketing efforts, I didn't trust them to continue to potentially try to do anything for me. It just kind of sounded like a scam.
Yeah.
So I was like, eh, screw this, to put it bluntly. And I explored the options that others had shared around. It was very comforting to know that I wasn't the only one who was a bit upset about that and wanting to explore other options. And I ended up moving over to Wix because it seemed the most easily accessible in terms of trying to understand a new platform. I didn't have to like, you know HTML coding and all that crazy stuff that I'm definitely not familiar with. And what I especially liked now that I've gone a lot further along with Wix as well is that I just have a lot more control. I think is what I like.
And why did you decide to go with Wix as opposed to like a Shopify or something else that's more kind of e-commerce focused?
I think it might have been because of the way like it just felt more of like you can have other ways of telling your story about there, like in terms of having like an about you kind of thing and the blog aspect. And I can't remember if Shopify does all of that, but I did try Shopify before I think my last year renewed for my usership with Wix. But Shopify just seemed very confusing for some reason. I don't know if that was...
It's a little more complicated. Yeah, no, I asked the question partially just for myself, obviously for the listeners. Hey guys. But also, you know, I have clients and people go in one of two directions, and I have reasons to recommend each one, but Wix... Mm-hmm. Wix is just getting better and better all the time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and it's just more robust and really offers basically everything Shopify offers until you get like very large scale, mm-hmm. Which is kind of beyond the, you know, we're hand making goods scale. That's like, you know, for people who are doing like things like drop shipping or, you know, things like that, Shopify mm-hmm. really make more sense. But yeah, I really love Wix for my creators, and it gets kind of a less press and less love from the creator community almost because it's not marketing itself really as the e-commerce solution. But I think that it really does have so much of that. And it's also much more user-friendly and less expensive than Shopify.
Well, I like it too because in relation to a lot of things that you talk about in terms of recommending, you know, ways to help yourself out as a shop owner, which is that they do have the email campaign that you can do, like setting up emails to go out. And sometime in the last few months, they had actually added the option about being able to schedule email campaigns, which just makes me so very happy. And there is something else. Oh, I love just being able to very easily access everything from the app on my phone. So very easily just updating any photos and adding listings and sending invoices to people. Even crafting emails from there too is really awesome. I can control a live chat function on my website from my phone and actually, like, you know, in real time chat with my customers. You can actually, like, you have kind of this online platform that you can build so that if your customers also download the Wix app, they could join your online community.
Oh, I didn't even know about that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a real thing, I promise. So like if you actually have it set up, instead of, you know, going to my web address, you can go into the Wix app where you become kind of like a member in there. You don't have to pay for that or anything. Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting. They're like creating almost like a Etsy type, not exactly that, but like a community where, I don't know.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
It where is,
yeah. And you probably can be members there of multiple stores, right? That are on Wix.
So,
yeah. Interesting.
One of my good friends that I've only ever known virtually, she's in Michigan. She's Fistful Thinking on Instagram. Mm-hmm. She actually had set this up and I hadn't really thought very much about it, but I accepted her invitation to access on her email list because we've shopped from each other, and I joined it just to see what that was like from a customer perspective. And it's actually really cool, at least like for me being familiar with Wix, because just from the app, instead of relying on going to the web address, you can actually view all of the products still and almost still treat it like a community where I think like, I don't know, there's a lot more that I want to explore with it, but I'm really intrigued about it.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's maybe a newer feature and something that's pretty cool to, yeah, to look into.
They've actually had it for a while.
Oh.
since I had actually built my website, like kept kind of blogging about it in terms of like part of your setup.
Uh-huh.
But I just didn't really understand it. And I was like, I don't really know what you are.
Until
Mina had mentioned something, and then I was kind of like, okay, well,
I'll look into this. Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know what it would look like for other people. So I was like kind of anxious about it. I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
No, that's such a great idea. Yeah, as far as like looking into it for your own business, to go and like do it as a user first to see if that's what you want. Yeah, I love that. Totally great experimentation.
Yeah, so something new about Wix, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. Something I just learned anyways. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about, I mean, you just had a huge milestone that we talked about on social media. And you're very active on especially Instagram. I'm always seeing you post amazing content, and I know that you have a big following. So what is your social media strategy, and how do you make it work for you and work in your flow since you do have, you know, other demands on your time as we all do?
I feel like I this is like another thing that I really weirdly still kind of wing a little bit because of like winter being winter and just kind of like a period of feeling like it just, you need to like chill out and sit back a lot. I wasn't very consistent with what I was doing with my social media for a while. With, I think, more toward the start of the new year, I've been getting back into it and back into the good habits and practices of it. And my usual way that I like to do things is I try to post at least once a day if I can, mm-hmm. whether it's kind of more toward the morning around 8 or 9 in the morning, or maybe around lunchtime, depending on, you know, sometimes I have to go to work and be there for 8 a.m. So maybe I'm not going to be posting in the morning because I'm worried about commute and getting started at work, but maybe like around lunchtime, I might indulge in posting something. So it just kind of like depends on the day and how I do stuff like that. And my new strategy, at least in terms of having like the content ready to post, is having Sundays be for photography of anything.
Love that. Obviously, yeah, because that's obviously the biggest, the biggest time suck, right? Is getting those photos of all your products and making sure the lighting is right and then editing it and all that. So I like that you're planning that on a day that you you have some space to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And a while back, you had actually recommended this ring light on Amazon. I ended up getting that, and that's what I've been
using. Oh, cool. It's the Eva light? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I've been using that in conjunction with literally just my phone, this Lightroom Photoshop app, and some presets that I have. And then even further after that, I use Snapseed to further kind of brighten it up and fine tune it to make sure it looks true to form. And then it's ready to go. So it's kind of like a lengthy process in terms of like kind of like a 3-step thing, but it really works for me, I think, in terms of the photos I'm getting now.
Well, it sounds like that's like almost a creative outlet for you as well, getting all those photos taken. Yeah.
A tiny bit. Yeah. I get to like do the fine tuning. I'm usually very detail focused. So getting to fine tune and make sure that everything looks, you know, as true to life as I can. That's really important to me.
Mm-hmm. Love that. And you can tell because your photos definitely pop on the feed. For sure. Do you have any like quick tips for the listeners about how to take product photos? Because I know that a lot of my makers, that can be something that's pretty intimidating.
I think a lot of what it comes down to for me is I like very natural feeling things because I think that best aligns with my overall brand per se, which is like kind of why I was taking all the time to rephotograph things, because I really want to be consistent and, you know, actually really finalize this branding thing that's been in flux for 2 years. Figuring out like what would work best for you, especially in terms of like background, like what best represents you and your business and your work in the best way possible. So I have like this kind of wood slice that I photograph on with a thin selenite stick. I wanted to say
love
log,
that.
A stick.
Yeah.
And I think the selenite is really fitting to have as part of the background because, you know, working with crystals and all that, and it helps kind of prop it up just a little bit so that I'm not fighting to get a good angle between my phone and the ring light that I use. And that I have.
And like I like that you're using natural, like the wood and the selenite, yes. So not, you know, plastic to stands or whatever, because that is so much a part of your brand. I love that.
Yeah. And when I have my physical setup at events, I actually have these huge wood rounds that we had gotten at Home Depot that my husband shaped and attached steel wood legs too, so they could actually stand. And that's like my pendant display. I have like a
so cool
whole bunch of push pins in the top of it that are actually like wooden balls that I found at Target that like perfectly blend in with the wood rounds. And my pendants hang from that. And it was the perfect solution that I'd ever gotten for getting my pieces up off the table. And then further, even cooler than that, what I'm excited to bring to probably one of my first shows, I think in early spring. Back around Thanksgiving, we were in North Carolina to visit my brother-in-law, and we went browsing through the woods on his property because he gave me a really great idea, because he's a he's a woodworker. He has mm-hmm. a really awesome woodworking business that he runs. And he was thinking, like, for my pieces, that he really visualizes it more being like a really organic setup in terms of how it's being displayed. And I was venting to him about my frustrations for how to have a display for earrings that I liked because I do not like anything right now. And he ended up like kind of brainstorming a bit with me, and we walked through the woods to try to find some natural pieces of wood that I could use. And he gave me this gorgeous piece of driftwood that he happened to just have. But we ended up picking up a couple of tree stumps from fallen trees where he sawed the kind of bend top of it where the tree had split off to have like a flat part. And I'm going to be cleaning up the rooted part of it so that these tree stumps would sit kind of on that part that used to go upright, the flat part that was sawed out. And instead, all of the roots are just kind of like this gorgeous, wavy, tangled
That's amazing.
Look on top.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I'll have jewelry displayed on those, and I'm so excited.
I love that. And that is so like right in with your brand, that natural, woodsy, like crystal feeling. I love it. Oh my gosh, I'm getting chills.
Yeah, I'll have to send you photos when I actually get that.
Please do. Going. Yeah. And then, of course, like post to your socials so the listeners can see. I know that one too.
Yeah, I still got to clean up the wood. They're a little bit mossy right now, but they're cedar, so I don't have to worry about them rotting or anything, which is amazing that we found that. So super stoked about that. But for like what I do on top of the little wood round I have when I'm doing my photography in the office, I have like a couple of fake flowers that I pulled off of some things that I probably got at Michael's. And I kind of have those on the framed background for a little extra just pop of color. Especially if the stones are, you know, maybe don't have a lot of like really vibrant color themselves, like if they're darker or more neutral tones. And when I do the actual editing, I do a kind of lens blur on it to focus more on the stone so that the rest of it, like anything that is in the background, isn't in high detail and not like detracting away from what I'm actually trying to put that. And then also it just, it's like a low key sort of like, let's just not make it obvious that these are fake flowers because you won't actually then be able to pick up on all the little fibers of the fake flowers. So that's my little secret around that.
I love that. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So final question for you before we wrap up. Sure. What does being a creator mean to you?
Oh, goodness. I feel like this is a question I should have gotten before.
Oh, you know, I'm putting you on the spot. Just what's the first thing that comes to your mind? We won't, listeners, let's promise we won't hold her to it 10 years from now.
I don't know. I think a lot of it relates back to just being willing to go with whatever flow is necessary, but also being true to what it is that you want to create. Like right now, I'm in a group on Instagram for this February Wrap-A-Day challenge that we all kind of volunteered to do together. And some people have expressed in there some, you know, frustrations and sadness around this time of year and not getting any sales. And I was worried for them that they're just a little bit too focused on that aspect of it and just like kind of jumping minded, like, well, what are you really creating for? Is it for the sales or is it for the love of what you're creating, the art, the like fun.
Yeah, of being of service creation. Too, like having, things to share, even if it's just the video and your post. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And I know this time of year is super hard on small businesses because everybody's like, anybody who would be shopping is kind of like, oh my gosh, let me recover.
Yeah, I need to tighten my belt. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It can be tough for sure.
Yeah. And so like sometimes you just kind of got to sit back and acknowledge like, hey, it is what it is, especially for January, February, as people are kind of getting a little bit back in the shopping mood for potentially Valentine's Day and all that good stuff. But I think always just kind of being able to remind yourself of why you're doing what you're doing can be really helpful at the end of the day.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that, the connection to your purpose and your passion and why you started your business in the first place, why you started, you know, wrapping jewelry and getting into crystals and taking all these classes in the first place. I mean, that is so important because you're right. That's it's all of our business. Yeah. All of our business. We can lose track of that. What actually like lights us up. I love it. So how can my listeners find you? I'm going to include it in the show notes, but definitely shout out some of your handles and all that.
Oh yeah. So, very simple for Instagram at Wrapped Up in Jewelry. And then I'm on Facebook too, if anybody likes that versus Instagram. Literally can just search the same thing, Wrapped Up in Jewelry. I'm easily accessible there. Respond to messages in either case if anybody has follow-up questions. I'm apparently on Twitter. I've not been consistent trying to do Twitter. But same thing, I think it's just at Wrapped Up in Jewelry. I'm pretending like I know what I'm doing with it, but Rapid Day group is actually trying to get me back into doing, because some of them are from there. I'm like, I don't know
if I want another one. I hear you on that.
I just don't know what I'm doing.
You certainly know what you're doing now. You're not giving yourself enough credit. I've seen you grow thrive. And yeah, it's just amazing. So guys, you got to check her out I follow her on Insta, I guess on Facebook, and check out her online shop. It's just amazing. And there's some amazing goodies in there. But thank you so much for being with us today. This was like absolutely amazing. And you offered so many wonderful tips for my listeners.
No, thank you for having me. And you've been super amazing since I've met you. So I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. All right. Yeah. Well, go off and create some more amazing goodness for the world.
Oh, absolutely. Might take a little bit of a nap here today.
There you go. Take a nap and then create. I love it. Yeah. All right. Well, signing off. Bye, girl.
Bye.
This has been the Creators Marketing Method podcast. Thanks for joining me today. Don't forget to check out the show notes to download your free step-by-step guide to create your authentic marketing message to explode your income. If you liked what you hear, I would so appreciate you rating and reviewing. This helps me know what kind of content you guys like the best, and I can deliver more of it. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.